Father, fill this atmosphere with your presence, with your power, like tongues as of fire setting upon each of us. Let every person under the sound of my voice tonight have a personal revival with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give a praise offering, church. Judgment of God is when the presence of God lifts a church. Lifts from a church. I'm going to say it again. The judgment of God for a church is when the presence of God lifts. How many of you tell me you can feel him or sense him? Religion tries to stifle this. Are you with me? I don't know if I have encountered people here. Please, when you come to, when you come tomorrow, please behave like encounter. Amen? Listen, judgment of God on a church is when he lifts his presence from a church. When there's no longer a flow of the Holy Ghost. I am not speaking of a flow that is chaotic. I'm speaking of a flow where the Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Ghost or we can quench him. So the quench. The word quench means when you quench a fire. Fire is busy flowing and the preacher comes up and say, stop, sit down. Two songs. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost is quenched. And he backs off. The Apostle Paul said, he said in Galatians chapter number 3 verse 1, the Galatian church was a church that operated and moved in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And when he got to them, he realized that something is wrong because there's no more power in the church. So the power. Listen, Christianity without power is nothing but a dead science. Are you guys with me? If you're sitting in a church and there's dead or there is no power, it's because there's no God. When there's no presence, God's presence is him. Are you guys with me? Let me say it like this. Paul came to the Galatians church and he said in Galatians 3 verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? The word bewitched means, number one, to cast a spell. There's a thing called Christian witches. They give you the Pentecostal look. Are you with me? When you come into a church, they give you that witchcraft look. Yeah, that's witchcraft. It casts a spell. Number two, it means to flatter. It means that flattery began to go in the church. And they began to flatter whatever preachers there was, and it was beginning, and flattery means to have hatred in your heart. Number three, it means to cast an evil eye. It's when a preacher preaches and somebody sits like this. It's like, if you had a knife, you would kill me. And they kill you with the eye. And because of that, Paul is saying, listen here, the power of God is lifted from the church. And they began to quench the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? When the Holy Spirit is quenched, he lifts his presence. Listen, Saul was ruling for 40 years as king. And he was only anointed 2 years of those 40 years. Which means the other 38 years, the anointing was lifted. God was not for him, yet he still ruled. Samson, the Bible is saying that Samson was sleeping. And the Bible says that the presence of the Lord departed from him. And he knew it not. Yet he still defeated the Philistines. Are you with me? There are some preachers that are fired and they don't even know it yet. But they're carrying on preaching, but there's no support of God. Say with him, miracles. Say signs. Say wonders. It's time that miracle, signs, wonders, power comes into the church. Not through the preacher only, but through believers that is equipped. Listen, tonight the Holy Ghost is going to rest upon you. He's going to come upon you. He's going to baptize you with power. And those who are hungry and shouting, you will receive it to the measure that you are. I'm telling you, listen, revival is a people whose hands doesn't stand like this in worship, but whose hands are like this in worship. Revival is a people that is saying, I cannot sit still in my chair. I need to move. Why? Because my spirit is alive to revelation. Revival is a people that is saying, I have to shout amen when the preacher preaches. Something in them has to agree with revelation. There's no way that you cannot agree. Otherwise, your spirit is dead. I pray that even if it's just a suscitation tonight, that it will happen. A Holy Ghost suscitation. Are you with me? To make our spirits alive again. Have a seat, have a seat. I've been in meetings where they have to, thousands of people, where they have to carry you out because of the weight of the glory. We have missed that somewhere. And we have diluted our services to 1.2, 1.3. Paul said when I taught in the Corinthian church, he said to the Corinthians, when I came to you, I did not come to you with persuasive words of human wisdom and eloquence of speech, but I come to you in a demonstration of the power. Meaning, Paul went to Athens, Paul went to Athens before he came to Corinth, and he tried to teach in Athens, and his success rate was that he maybe won 5 people. And he said, I'm not going to do this thing again. When the gospel is not preached with power, it is preached illegally. It brings an embarrassment on God. When we say he can do signs, wonders, and miracles, you're laying hands and nothing happens. It embarrasses God. Are you guys with me? I think I preached this morning on it. Listen, let's just say with me, Pentecost. Say power. I want to speak to you just a few things that we're going to minister to you. And I want to, I'm just going as the Holy Ghost leads. Just, if you feel uncomfortable, there's just something uncomfortable in you, okay? And we do deliverance. I don't know. And I'm going to say it again. When God judges a church, he removes and lifts his presence. When he judges a person, he lifts his presence. King David says, may he take everything from me except his presence. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 10, verse number 1. I want you to flow with me. So no notes or anything. I'm just going to read through the scripts. I want to speak to you about, say with me, effects. When the wind blows, you cannot see the wind. You can only see the effects of the wind. When the Holy Ghost works and the anointing comes, you cannot see it. You can only see the effects of it. You can feel the anointing being tangible on you. The anointing is the tangible, transferable, storable substance from heaven. It can be, it's tangible, you can feel it. When it gets weightier in this place tonight, you're going to feel it. When the glory comes in, it's the word, kavod. I don't know, I sense this hungry people. Listen. And you'll see that I'm not getting out of hand. You can have a seat. You'll see that I'm not getting out of hand because I'm going to let it flow to a point. Okay. Then Samuel, put on the verse. Then Samuel took a flask. Say with me, a flask. Now the difference between Samuel and, between Saul and David. Now Samuel was anointing Saul here. And I'm going to use Saul as an example of the anointing. But I don't want you to forget that Saul was not God's choice. He was the people's choice. Are you guys with me? That is why Samuel anointed him with a flask, a man-made thing. And David was anointed with a horn, the specifics of God. That is why Saul was the kingdom. And that is why even when David did worse sins than Saul, God said, this is a man that is close to my heart. When the anointing comes on you, there's a favor that it makes you. It looks unfair. Are you with me? Like Esther, when she had the anointing, when we say she had that had shown favor. Esther was not a young girl. She was 79 years old. And she stood in front of the king with all these other contestants of 16, 17 years old. But for some reason, when the king looked at her, all he could see was Esther's grandmother standing out in the middle of them because of the anointing. It will make, even if you don't qualify, may God, your anointing will cause your employer to be blinded to the qualifications of others and look upon you. The anointing is everything we need. It's all. When heaven's oil is upon your life. La, la, listen. Some of you might sit here and think, oh, but why is this church so crazy? Because you don't know what God did for them. Okay. Oh, you don't know. Many here have been delivered from drugs, addictions, bondages. In 1 second of the anointing, they have been set free. That is why they rejoice. That is why they shout when they hear this word. The only thing that has made me who I am today is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I was even expelled out of high school. I had nothing. No education, no intellect, but say with me, oil. Oh, when the anointing is on you. And amen. Have your seats. And this is my dear friend, Pastor Richard. And he's from a huge, huge church. And he saw me when I had nothing. You did, eh? I think we slept in camps in one bed together. But we were in love with God. Oh, the anointing. Listen, say with me the effects of the anointing. Samuel took a floss. Now listen, if you look at David's life, in one day when David was anointed, he went back. One day after he was anointed, he killed Goliath. In one day, he became best friends with the son of the president. He married the daughter of the president. And he was given cars and houses and all the land. He said, God, when the anointing comes upon you, men will come and give into you. Because the anointing is distributed by giving. Even Jesus, when he was sitting and the lady came with the alabaster box, breaking it open on his feet. The Bible says it was a year's wages of perfume. Are you with me? Imagine a year's salary. Now, I wear a Ventus that's like 7,000 rand. That's the most expensive. Okay. This lady had higher than a Ventus. Check on how they go like, I don't buy it. It is being bought for me, huh? And she was a prostitute. So by her trade of her salary, she took that as oil. You know how she made that money. Okay. And she broke it on Jesus' feet. And he was pleased. And he said, this lady, wherever the gospel is being preached, her story will be preached. And she was a prostitute. She didn't ask for forgiveness. Ah, listen. If you only knew the cost of my alabaster box, the disciples looked at her. And was saying, or the Pharisees were saying, but who is this woman? Take it away. Listen, you don't know the cost. If you only knew the price of the anointing that I've paid for years of my life. And I've just exited a bad season and entered a good season the last week. I'm telling you. When I mean a bad season, the Bible says the man Jesus Christ attested by God to work and followed by signs, wonders, and miracles. There's testing that comes before the anointing is released. Have your seats. Now, then Samuel took a floss. So we understand, okay, that Saul wasn't God's decision, but still the anointing was on him. So I want to explain to you the effects. Floss of oil and poured it on their head and kissed him and said, tonight will anoint you with oil. In this place, not what I'm reading on the scripture. Tonight will anoint you with oil. And kissed him and said, is it not Because the Lord has anointed you commander. Say with me, commander. Say with me, captain. Over his inheritance. God never anointed King Saul as king. He was only anointed as commander and captain. He anointed himself as king. Are you with me? Many ministers promote themselves into a place. It was never God's decision. So, but when the anointing came upon him, number one, say with me, commander. Command came upon him. He had the ability to speak with authority. When the anointing comes upon you, number one, people will begin to salute you who haven't saluted you before. People who have never, who has even looked down upon you, will now come to you for something they need. Every person that has written you off will come to your aid and your help when they see the anointing upon your life. When heaven's oil is upon you. And I want every person sitting here, if you need a miracle tonight, I want you to hold on to God for when we pray for that. Listen, say with me, command. You will get an authority, a command. People will begin to salute you. Go for the next verse. When you have departed from me today, Samuel is saying now to Saul, he's saying, two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for has been found. Say with me, the donkeys. I preached a message about forgetting the donkeys. Getting rid of the donkeys. He's saying, listen here, those little distractions, the little things you were looking for, the little contracts you were running after, has been found. Do not let it distract you. That which has been lost, the donkeys was lost, and Saul went to look for the donkeys. Are you guys with me? On the way for looking for the donkeys, he was anointed. And that which has been lost has been found, which means that when the anointing comes upon you, everything that has been lost will be recovered. If it is finances, family, whatever it is, business, the anointing has the ability to restore it sevenfold, to recover it. Listen, number three, so it goes on. It says, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go forward from there and come to Terebinth, tree of Tabor. There are men going up to God. I'm just reading fast. There are three men coming up to God at Bethel. Will meet you. One is carrying three young goats. Another is carrying three loaves of bread. And another is carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet. Say with me, greet. The word greet means to salute. They will come and salute you. And give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. When you have the anointing, men, people will come and put things into your bosom. I think it is Luke. Put Luke 6 verse 36 on. In the King James Version. King James. Luke 6 verse 36. Maybe it's not this. Where's the given shall be given scripture? Huh? 38. 38, guys. Okay. Give. Say with me, give. And it shall be given unto you. You give in one measure, but the measure that you'll be given back is a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together. Run. Say with me, running over. Shall men. Does it say God? Shall men come to you and put into your bosom? It is time that you begin to believe God for a supernatural prosperity and increase upon your life. That when the anointing comes on you, that men will just come and give to you. Are you with me? Have you ever seen? My wife and I, we have lived a life of giving. Let me tell you this. Before I have given and honored, there was no anointing on me. When I understood the revelation of honor and said, but wait, I need to honor men of God who carries the anointing by giving into them, it opened up an avenue and the gifts came on me. The anointing for miracles, the anointing, every area which I'm moving in. And then I remember we had nothing, and I was looking at a photo of 3 years ago. comparing to where I am today, where we were living, we had nothing. When I started the ministry, I think it was Pastor Gebert from Hatfield was speaking, and we were speaking after we did the conference there by him. And we were speaking many years ago. And I had Lloyd. I was thinking of Lloyd. No, I won't say that. Okay, let me just say that. I remember he had more than me. Lloyd having more than me. That is, listen. No, I'm joking. And I didn't have a car. And my wife and I didn't have a car for maybe 8 months, 9 months. And I was a pastor in the church, in Pastor Mark's church. And he borrowed us a scooter. And I drove the scooter, and the scooter broke down, lifting my wife, getting groceries. And then the scooter broke down, so he gave us a second one. And that one broke down as well. So when I... You know, and then we have these idiots. Leon is taking the church money and buying a mansion. I'm seeing the mansion. I don't have it yet, but I'm seeing the mansion. Idiots. Saying, we're wasting money on the church TVs. I'm thinking, you're so wicked. All you want is this TV because you're poor. Poverty is a spirit. Where poverty is, all manner of evil is there. I promise you. That's why when God wants to deliver His people, He wants to deliver them from the spirit of poverty. How do you break the back of poverty? When you decide, I'm going to take a seed and give it to break that spirit that I have of holding onto the little. And when my wife and I decided to give a lot, I'm not speaking of a little, a lot, when we had nothing. It's easy to give when you have a lot. It's difficult to give when you have nothing. And we gave and we gave. I mean, when I had nothing, we didn't have a car. We would give 60,000. I would swipe my credit cards, everyone to the negative that I can, just to buy perfume for a man, because I had a revelation of, for somebody else, not for me, okay? I had a revelation of the story of the lady who came with an alabaster box. And from that moment on, I remember it was something like that amount, and something over 250,000 rands of debt got cancelled over our life a week later. I was preaching in a meeting and preaching my guts out. Never, people didn't really give a lot. And there were thousands of people. And one man came to the leadership of the church who was preaching. And this man never really gave. And that leadership said to me that he had a dream for the last 2-3 nights that I had revival meetings there, that he must ask me every cent of debt that I have. What he didn't know was a week prior to that, I wrote in a paper for debt cancellation. I wrote the amount. And I wrote the amount that I sowed. And I signed. Holding God to His word, because God exalts His word above His name. If His word is saying, give and shall be given unto you, He is accountable to His word. And from there on it began. So now my wife and I, when we begin to receive, and we don't have a lot, please don't, I just act that way. Act royalty. But what we have, we've never had before. And I'm speaking of the simple things of life. And God has begun to exalt us. Why? Because of the anointing. Where we have obeyed certain laws. I remember, you know, and then you see the church we're in now, just over a year. God has grown it to an extent. I mean, conferences, we had to SMS people and say that, you know, kind of like to get people only here tonight and then tomorrow. That's too much. And that is what God can do with one life that is surrendered to Him. And we gave. And then we gave... I mean, I said to my team, that was the December or November, I really want to give a car away. And you must watch when you say something like that. And it was the next month, and God said, give your car to, and I had a baby, and it was the only car. And for a year, while we planted the church, no car. Are you guys with me? When I tapped in and gave it like that, your spirit is an accountant, meaning it keeps record of what you have given, and you're stretched. After that, you can never really give less than that again. And your spirit is now stretched to begin to see what you must receive. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. You give to the measure what you want to receive. Your spirit is stretched. So now when you used to lie in bed and dream, I can just have my a flat of 2 bedrooms. Now you're lying and you're seeing a huge house for your family and cars. Your spirit is stretched. And I spoke to you about Rayon. That you, now you have the ability to see your future by the thoughts that God gives you about the days thereafter, year after. That which you see with your mind's eye lying, it has already happened. You're just about to step into it. Are you with me? That is the gospel we preach. I know people's like, we're all about prosperity. No. I can say, do you want to receive poverty? I promise you nobody will jump up. Amen. When God's people are rid from poverty, this is not my message, by the way. I just want to speak about the anointing. But when God's people are, then the spirit of poverty is broken over their lives. Freedom comes. There's only 2 gods you can serve. Mammon or God. Poverty will make you think you're not serving mammon, but you are. It has made you a slave. Are you with me? Sometimes we don't need deliverance. We just need money. I'm just irritating a lot of people that came for Pastor Mark tonight. So that's okay. So say with the anointing. So he says, listen, these people will come and give unto you, into your bosom. They will salute you. And then it goes on, it says, you and give you 2 loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. Verse 5. After that, you shall come to the hill. Say with me, the hill. When the anointing comes on you, you'll be taken to heights and depths of the realm of the Spirit. When you go into higher realms, the climate changes, which means things that can live at the bottom cannot live at the top. Which means where your flesh is alive at the bottom, it has to die when you get to the top. And you see that Jesus in Matthew chapter number 17, Jesus was on top of the mountain with James and Peter, James and John, I believe it was. And they saw Moses and Elijah. They saw Moses and Elijah. I don't know why Enoch wasn't there, but anyway. They saw Moses and Elijah. And I told you why Moses appeared there. When Moses was on the mountain, thousands of years before that, he went into the glory of God in the secret place. And he said, God, show me your glory. And God said, I will put you into the cleft of the rock. I'll put my hand upon you. And you're allowed to see my back, but you're not allowed to see my face. Doesn't mean the face of God. Because just a few verses before that, the Bible says that God spoke to Moses face to face. So it contradicts. The word face means everything before time began. So God said, you're not allowed to see everything before time began, but you can look upon my back, which means everything from this moment on forward. That when Moses was in the cleft of the rock, he saw thousands of years in the future. Listen, when the glory comes upon you, when he was on the mountaintop and he was 80 days in the glory of God, not eating, neither drinking, and the finger of God was writing the commandments, he was in the glory of God where there was no time. When Jesus was on the mountain and he saw Moses and Elijah, when the glory comes, there's no time. There's people. When the presence of God is in a place, time disappears. Say with me, the anointing. I can feel a wave beginning to come into this place. The smoke of the glory of God is going to fill this place tonight. And it is going to only be the beginning and starting of this conference. Every person under the sound of my voice with open hearts and open spirits, you will be infused with His power. That every fiber and every molecule will be charged. Have a seat.
I wanted us to sing that song.
Okay. Okay. The coming.
Where are we?
Okay, so he's saying, you will go up a hill. Say with me, a hill. And I'm sure I made it clear with Moses being on the mountain, Jesus being on the mountain. When Jesus was on the mountain, the Bible says that his disciples were squatting down there, trying to cast out a devil, and they can't. And when Jesus came walking down from a higher dimension to a lower dimension, the Bible says that the people, the leaders, and everybody who were looking at his disciples trying to cast out a devil was running to Jesus, saluting him when he came walking down the mountain. And when they came down, Jesus said, who are you, you perverse generation, calling his disciples perverts for not being able to cast out a devil. And he set the person free because he came from a higher dimension to a lower dimension. The anointing will take you to a higher dimension where devils cannot breathe or be alive. And it is time that the church stopped doing counseling and cast out demons. You will meet a group of prophets come down. Oh, where are we now? Okay. Verse 5. A hill of God. Oh, so after you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistines garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place. So through the high place. With a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. I love it. In the King James, it says, the Spirit of God will rush upon you, and you will be changed into another man in another place. Are you guys with me? It says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them, and you shall be turned. Say with me, turned. Into another man. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, wherever there's a baptism of power, you will see prophecy beginning to flow out of people. And you shall be changed into the other man. People will look at you and be like, who is this person? When Jacob wrestled with God and he met God face to face, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. His brother Esau came to him and said, and his brother Esau was trying to kill him. And when he met him, he greeted him and fell on his shoulders and hugged him. Because he didn't come to see, he thought he was coming to kill Jacob. But he didn't find Jacob. He found Israel. And I love Jacob's story. Jacob shows a story where Jacob steals impartation. Are you guys with me? So impartation can be stolen, tricked. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and return into another man. And let it be that these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands. For God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal. And surely I will come down to you, offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices. And Samuel is carrying on speaking. He says, 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Verse 9, he says, so it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, to go to do what Samuel said, that God, say with me, gave him, say with me, another heart. When the anointing comes upon your life, your heart will be changed. One of the greatest miracles that can happen upon a person's life is when their heart changes. Are you with me? Raise your hands, close your eyes. May the anointing fill this house. Father, place your Spirit upon every person. Tonight, let the anointing hover upon them. Let every effect, every sign of this that I just mentioned now be visible, evident upon your people. Amen. Put your hands up. Let me close off with this. Say with me the effects of the anointing. I want to close off with this so that we can pray for you. But I'm going to first take up an offering so that we don't, when we can pray that there can be a move and we're not distracted by that. Let me mention some things to you. Say with me, revival. And I flow with the Holy Spirit, meaning that I can go like this, or I can go like this. And a person and a people that has revival upon them, they look different. You can clearly see a church that has no power and a church that has power. I've been in churches, you would just raise your hand and the power of God would fall upon people. It's like electricity going through them. I'll get to another church, maybe 3,000, 4,000. Try to lay hands, nothing. I try to prophesy, nothing. Until I find out that I'm looking around and I realize who I'm looking for, and it was God. And He was gone. Okay? The hunger of a people can draw God into a place. The hunger and the faith of a people can pull His glory into this place. Say with me, a revival people. There's a difference with revival and evangelism. Evangelism is for the world out there. Revival is for the church, for the people to be revived, for the spirits to be revived. Are you with me? It's amazing. I said this morning that Jesus came to the Gadarene, and He saw the madman of Gadarene that ran to Him, demon possessed, and Jesus cast out the demon, and the Bible says that the man was sitting next to Him in his right mind and normal clothes. Are you guys with me? So the first sign of deliverance is how you dress. Okay. So, but anyway, Jesus went, He made this man normal, delivered. And the people of the city came to Him and said, get out of our town. We don't want you here. Many times the church is like this. When God wants to bring revival in His move and His presence, the people are saying, no, we don't want it like this. We don't want the church to be normal, to be delivered, to be good. We are happy with the church being possessed. Like Pharaoh that had the plagues coming against him. And Moses went to him and said, listen, God will remove the frogs. And the Bible says that Pharaoh says, not today, but tomorrow. And many people are like that. They are comfortable with their situation to live another night with the frogs until you are at a place of desperate frustration to say, I want to get out of my situation that I am right now. God will deliver you at the place of your expectation. God will deliver you at the measure that you're expecting Him to do it today. Listen, what is a people of revival? Say with me, a people of revival. They are people that stand up and are courageous about the move of God. They're not embarrassed when the Holy Ghost begins to move. If you have any ECC person in a shop and there's maybe a demon or there's something wrong, or there's in another place and it requires God to come in, if ECC is there, they lay hands. I promise you. Because they are a people that are saying, we are not for sale for any sick ascension of movement, but we love the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke, the anointing oil and nothing else. Listen, have you seen? Principles can only take you that far. Principles can never change a human heart. It's revelation that changes a human heart. The opening of the words, the opening of the eyes, apocalypsis, the tearing open of a veil. Seeing something that was always there but you could never see it. Encounter is not a church, encounter is a revelation, an apocalypsis. That when you place your feet in this church, you will not be comfortable going out. I can promise you that. You will know. No. Have you seen? You'll just realize, no, wait. I have just eaten at a different level of a restaurant now. I'm joking. Okay. Say with your people that stand out, they are not for sale. Are you guys with me? Number two, it is a revival people is a people that are untouchable. Like Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even though they are thrown into the fire, even when they come out of the fire, their clothes has no smell of smoke. Even the men that threw them into the fire burnt up and die. Which means even those who try to put you into the fire, when you are a revival people, even your enemies will be burnt up. Listen, and I'll get into it. Listen, number three, revival people are like the wind. Wherever they go, you don't know whether they're coming or going. They can go left or they can go right. They are blown around by the wind. You can think they're at work and then they're by somebody else praying for them. Are you guys with me? Say with me, expectation. All I need is the anointing.